Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book, In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One of the great festivals in the country, or at least the Southeast, is Shaky Knees. Year after year after year, great lineup after great lineup. This year, no different. Coming out of quarantine with a huge bang, two bands in particular we talked to today, Gang of Youths and Spoon, Festival Virgin and Festival Veteran. Plus, you could win Bonnaroo tickets today on the What Podcast. Barry Corder, Brad Steiner, Lord Taco. It starts right now. Everyone doing?
Having a great day.
Great.
Having a great time all the time?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
How are you?
Has anyone been linting? Has anyone been linting really hard?
No. Told okay. you. I'm no quitter. How Taco, did, yeah, do you survive Taco, your first Mardi Gras?
Taco, you doing any of the linting?
Nope. I haven't given up anything.
Okay.
In fact, I have to go twice as hard now because of all the people giving up, you know, like beer.
Yeah.
Now I've got to drink more beer, so
yeah.
Counting on you.
It's a hard life. People are counting on
things,
me.
What other things are you doing to make up for other people's Lent?
That's about it. Just
okay.
Beer. Is there anything else? Anything else I should tune into and pick up? Should I start smoking?
You could do that. Yeah, try smoking for a little while.
Should I vape? Yeah, just try it.
Mardi Gras was great, but I will say after 10, 14 days of this, I've never wanted to Lent so hard in my life, and I'm not Catholic. I'm not religious at all.
There's a reason these things were created and continue, right?
Now I understand the purpose of being full of Lent or being Lentful. What is the word? I don't even know how to talk about this. Am I Lenting? Have I Lented?
I don't know that Lent's a verb until you made it one, but it works.
I'm going hard. I'm going hard after Lent. Going hard after Lent. I have successfully, guys, I have gone a whole day so far without drinking.
This is big.
Ooh, wow. I just started the Lent yesterday.
Let me see your hands.
Doing okay. Doing okay. I just started the Lent yesterday. Now, granted, I'm about 3 days late, 4 days late, but I started yesterday. I feel great. Slept
as
great.
Long as you get there.
Yeah. But I know why they're doing it now, Barry. Now I understand your people. I understand why you guys need this so bad, because it beat me the hell up.
I bet. How long is the Lent thing going to last? You going to go the full 40?
I think I'll make it to tomorrow at about 4:30.
40 hours.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Oh, 40 good hours.
My people spend the desert for 40 hours.
40 hours. Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you survived it. Did you see anything crazy?
Everything crazy. It was so much fun. It was the most, it's crazy that people, especially on Mardi Gras Day, are so emotional. I mean, people are crying on Mardi Gras Day. And I think, you know, partly it's because of the, you know, quarantine and not being able to do this for a little while. But apparently this is a thing where people get very emotional on Mardi Gras Day because of the sheer magnitude and the beauty of the entire moment. And I will say, I've been talking a lot in the past day or so with
you know, professional people, especially in the company, and they're, you know, obviously worried about Ukraine and the humanitarian aspect of everything that's happening there. But here, it's almost as if none of that's happening. You know, it's like we have just went through the gauntlet of Mardi Gras and we're just now waking up and saying, there's a war? What? What happened? So I do feel a little like out of touch and out of it. But it was as fulfilling and as exhilarating of a week and a half as I could have found. I wore a costume.
Wow.
Whoa.
That
one piece of the costume was on my head.
That's a lot of alcohol.
Oh.
Yeah. Or the right alcohol.
Didn't throw up. The wife threw up once. I kept it together. Yeah, I kept it together.
Well, I mean, New Orleans, like we've said before, is the you guys suffer more than most cities, and for to be shut down for 2 years, I can see where blowing it out was overdue.
And then the best part was on Friday, the Friday after Mardi Gras and the Saturday after Mardi Gras and the Sunday after Mardi Gras, there is crawfish everywhere, everywhere. I must have had 110 pounds of crawfish over the weekend. It was massive. I couldn't
give up crawfish.
Why would I do that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I you know, that's the point of Lent. Give up something you love.
Well, Barry, it's where I'm here to talk to you about.
Are we on a break?
We've gone through more breaks than we've been on. True. Today, it's Shaky Knees Day. So we've got two artists today that we're going to talk to that are appearing at Shaky Knees, which is one of those festivals, sort of like Boston Calling, that if you don't know it and if you don't go to it on a regular basis, it probably is just another afterthought. But Shaky Knees is like, I think it's my favorite festival in the South. That's not one of the top ones, right? It's not the big one, but boy, it's so well done. It's crafted in such a fantastic manner. The lineups are always spot on for me. And, you know, year after year, they move spots, they move locations. It just keeps getting better.
Really good lineup, as we've talked about.
I can't wait.
If everything falls right, I might have to join you down there for at least one of those days, Taco.
Yeah, you should.
I'm sorry. You're going to do what?
I think you know which one.
Wait, Barry, you have to leave the state.
Yeah.
I know. I have to leave my basement.
Your basement. Yeah.
I don't know.
Taco,
I don't think you're ready for this.
It's a big if, but if things fall the way I hope, yeah, I definitely. That Sunday looks really good to me.
All right, tell me who's on Sunday.
Well, My Morning Jacket, Krungbin, Death Cab, Band of Horses, Coin. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds like a what podcast lineup right there, doesn't it?
Except for all those bands we haven't talked to. You found one, and you're like, you know what?
No, that's the day for me. Krungbin, Coin.
Oh yeah, we did have Krungbin. That's right.
Yeah, I talk about My Morning Jacket a lot.
Uh-huh.
They'll be on someday, one day.
Well, there was going to be a time in a previous lineup that we were going to do a cooking show with My Morning Jacket, and it did not pan out. But I was so excited when they were on. Were they on the first Bonnaroo lineup that didn't happen, or the second one? Maybe they're on both. Either way, they pitched me the idea of doing a cooking segment with them. And I thought that was so much fun. So maybe we can do it again. I don't know. I don't know how we cook. What will we cook? You guys want to boil crawfish?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sounds
what else
fun.
Can you do?
I don't really do much. Maybe a spaghetti?
Yeah, pasta.
All right, kid, you like macaroni and cheese?
Yeah, you open the can, you pour it, and you heat it up.
Yeah.
Cook that pasta.
So two bands in particular that's at Shaky Knees. One is Gangs of Youth. Now, if you do not know Gangs of Youth, they are getting a little bit of heat on radio stations like mine because they've signed a big record deal. I think they're tonally, they're so interesting. I like their new album. They had a song on my radio station for a hot minute. I felt like I was maybe the only guy in the country that was obsessed with the song, Angel of 8th Avenue. So, you know, they've definitely got something. I think they're really, really interesting. I do not know what their live show is like, but that would be one that I would circle because I just like the band. And I want to give them the Pine Grove treatment. One band that I saw at Shaky Knees, it's one of these festivals that's perfect for exactly this. I heard this one song of them, and now I want to see if it translates live.
Right.
You know, Shaky Knees is the best at finding those. That's how I found Churches for the first time. I was like, I really like that one Churches song. Let me go see them and see if I like it. Obsessed. Right. Sylvanesso was like that for me at Shaky Knees. Went to see Pine Grove at Shaky Knees. And that will be the last time I ever see Pine Grove.
But now you know.
But now I know. I love that song. It's a really good song, but I just can't get past the kid wearing shorts on stage. Can't get past it. I can't get past a dude that's wearing shorts on stage. I see your cell phone in one pocket, your car keys in the next. It's like, are you here or are you not? Are you going shopping afterwards? Or are you going to actually engage? Yeah,
or were you shopping and then somebody said, oh, by the way, you've got a show in five.
Yeah. We need you to come play guitar and sing whiny indie rock. Yeah. But that's the perfect place for a band like that is Shaky Knees, is they can expose themselves to, a quality crowd who's really into this sort of stuff and gain, you know, a fan forever. I think Gangs of New York is one of them. I'm sorry. Gangs of Youth is one of them. Gang of Youth.
It's one gang, many youths.
Yeah. Okay. It's not Gangs of Youth.
Nope.
No.
Gang of Youth.
Gang of Utes.
Yeah. Okay.
The Utes. It's funny you mentioned the costuming, because Max gets into that with us, which I thought was a lot of fun. I think they got to be pretty good on stage just because of the hair. It's a lot of hair.
On I know. Stage. I was hoping we'd make it more than 10 minutes before we started talking about hair. We didn't do it.
Yeah, it's close.
So that's the first part. Second part is an interview that I did a couple of weeks ago on the debut day of Spoon's new album with my best friend in the world, Britt Daniel. So we are best friends. We are two peas in the pod. We hang out, we chit chat, we call each other all the time. My best friend, Britt Daniel. I love Spoon. I love Britt Daniel. I've got the biggest man crush on Britt Daniel. And I don't know if during the conversation I tried to bring it up, the time that we hung out, and, you know, Laverne and Shirley, our way through ACL, but I don't know if he really remembered it. I think that he did.
Sure that he did. Oh, he returns your calls, right?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Why would he return them? He's answering them on the first ring.
He's calling you. Yeah, I got you. Nice.
So we talk about the new album, which, by the way, if you haven't heard Lucifer on the Sofa, I can't stop listening to this, and I don't want to get premature and have recency bias, because Lord knows there's nothing I hate in this world more than recency bias. But this new Spoon album might be my favorite Spoon album of all time. It is incredible.
Good. There you go.
You haven't listened 1 second of it, have you?
No.
Oh my God.
I'm just sitting here, and I'm sure Russ is thinking the same. Brad has a lot of best friends, doesn't
best
he,
friends.
Russ?
Best friends.
Everybody's your best friend, yeah.
Brad and Britt.
I can't dispute any Brad. Of it, but you have now, a bunch.
I've got Britt, Brittany, and Brad. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, the circle is widened then.
Yeah.
You know, I've always said Brad only likes two people, himself and the other is fluid. So.
Fluid.
We widen the circle.
No, fluid meaning it's not a liquid. You're not saying I love fluid.
No, it could be. It could change.
Got it. Okay.
There's always it's one, plus one. B plus one.
Yeah. Whoever my plus one is for the day. Sure.
Yeah.
So those are your two Shaky Knees artists for today. Mm-hmm. We've had Coin on, so you can knock them off the list. Gangs of Youth.
Nope. Gang of Youth.
Okay. And Spoons. Very excited for both bands today.
We've had Krungbin.
Krungbins, yeah.
Krungbin. Getting there. I like it.
Yeah, so there you go. That's what you get today. And then is there anything else we need to get to?
Do we want to talk about the Bonnaroo stuff? Or you want to go save that for later?
Let's do that once we get through these two. Okay. Let's talk to Max from Gang of Youths. Now on the What Podcast.
Really exciting, but yeah, literally just sound checking.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, man. Where are you, bro?
I'm in New Orleans right now. Barry is in Tennessee. And Russ is right outside of Tennessee in northern Georgia. North Georgia.
Holy shit. That's such a cool group of places.
I mean, is it?
Yes. Are you joking?
I'm just making sure. How many trips have you made to the States in the last year or so since everything really started blowing up?
Well, dude, I have a huge love for the South, man. And I know that not all of the places just listed are like hard out the South, but I love all that wilderness stuff, man. I did a summer working in the Shenandoah Valley, which is way up further on in the Appalachians, mm-hmm. up in Western Virginia. And whenever I'm in those sorts of places where there's like all the trees and the fireflies and the vibe, mm-hmm. I want to get down to like New Orleans though and check out all the swamps.
Oh, please do. Let's wrestle some gators.
Yeah,
together.
Bro.
Let's wrestle some gators.
Dude, my brother would be useful with that. He used to live in Darwin, which is literally where Crocodile Dundee is set. He's always in the middle of the wilderness with his bow and arrow. But I'm kind of like, I'm the sort of the city slicker, the latte sipper of the family.
The latte sipper. What were you doing? What were you doing in the Shenandoah Valley? What in the hell was that about?
I just did like a lot of Kiwi. I'm a New Zealander. Most of the band, actually not anymore. Two of the band are Aussie. The front man, Dave, is Aussie. But someone. And then Tom's English and Jung's from Chicago. I had a lot of Kiwis when they're like 19, 18, 19, go and work in the States in summer camps. It's just a way to get a visa and then go traveling. So I did that, bro. It was awesome.
Okay.
Everyone thought I like knew how to start fires and shit because I'm from New Zealand, but I didn't really know what I was doing. I had more mana than I deserved for sure. But it was fun. So you guys, you go.
No, it is remarkable. Like the way that we look at as Americans, we look at other people, especially just like cavemen. That's all you are to us is cavemen. You can start fire with your hands and.
Or a boomerang. Dude. Yeah, you can take out a large animal with a boomerang or something.
Awful. Just the stupidest type of people.
In the case of my brother, that's a weirdly accurate stereotype. but not me so much. But no, we love the outdoors, the whole band. Like, that's something about the United States, man, that it's just so super underrated. People don't if I lived in the States, bro, I would have a car for one. I live in London, and it makes no sense to have a car. But I would have a car, and I would just boost all the time to like waterfalls, rivers, you know, mountains. It's just great, bro. But anyway, I'm sure you don't want to talk about that.
Oh, hello there, friend. This is Brad Steiner.
I'm Barry Corder.
After you check out the latest episode of the What Podcast, be sure to check out some of the other great programs on the Consequence Podcast Network, including
Rootsland. It's an original story of two friends who take a musical and spiritual journey from the suburbs of Long Island to the streets of Kingston, Jamaica.
Or Kyle Meredith With, where you can find interviews with all of your favorite musicians and bands. Hosted by our guy, Kyle Meredith. New episodes air weekly on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Head to consequence.net to listen to these podcasts and many great others.
What is the perception? What do you think the perception people have of your music based on where you're from?
Oh, man. I think it differs to where you are. Like, I feel like in the United States, Australians and New Zealanders are a little bit random. Like, we're so small that I don't know if there is much preconceived ideas about it, apart from like big acts like Tame Impala or, recently, and people like Lord and stuff. Like, you know, there's some big sort of Antipodean acts, but I don't know if there is much, but I think in England, like, there's a lot of Aussies and Kiwis. And we're really annoying and like we overdrink and like we live together in like massive flats and shit. Like, and I think it's like almost works against us in England.
Barry, I think I found my people.
yeah, dude. You do not want to be a London Aussie, trust me. No, we are London Aussies, so we can't talk. Whereas in the States, I think there's a lot more like we're just sort of seen as like being, oh, that's kind of interesting. You're from, you know, the other side of the world. But I never feel judged or anything by Americans.
Can I stop real quick? Just real quick. What is a Kiwi?
A Kiwi is a bird, a flightless bird, that is the national emblem of New Zealand.
Okay.
When you buy kiwi from Whole Foods, like the fruit, it's called a kiwi because it's from New Zealand. The name is derived from a bird. So it'd be like calling the Canadians, if you called them like
hockey pucks. Bears.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like
a Molson.
Or like, yeah. Or called you guys. I could say PBR. A lot of dodgy stuff about what you call Americans. PBR. Pickup truck. And, or, you know, I don't know what's the stereotype. Don't offend anyone.
Let's get to the real question that I have. How in the world do you guys have the best set of hair of any band that's on the planet right now? You guys all have great hair.
It's L'Oreal Paris, dude. No, it's not. I don't know. Dave's wife's a hairstylist and she does all our hair. My wife actually just cut my hair though. So she killed me if I didn't mention that. I don't know what it is, man. When you're in a band, you're allowed to have long hair, even though you're probably too old to have long hair. So
this is a big part of our show, which is why Brad.
Yeah, we try to spend 5 to 10 minutes on hair. Clearly, every week. Yeah,
you know, hair is important to us. So.
Yeah,
that's great, man.
That's pretty much all we got for you.
oh, fantastic! All right, have a good night, man.
so about the band. Now, I became a fan of you guys because, you know, I work in radio and we get service singles, and I had never really heard of you guys. And the minute that I heard the first single off of the new album, I was like, man, this has got so much like national in it. And I love the national. So that was the first, you know, foray into your band. Tell me about the band. Tell me about where you guys came from, how you found each other and, you know, before up until the new album. How it all came to be.
It's interesting to say the national, man, because one of our best mates is a guy called Peter Katus who produced Boxer and Alligator and High Violet. And he produced one song on this record and he mixed a couple on this album, the new one. And so we obviously have that connection of like a mutual friend. But I do think a lot of the time, because Dave, Matt Berninger kind of broke ground on that, like, you know, I mean, obviously Leonard Cohen as well, but like in terms of like an indie rock band having a singer with a low voice.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes Dave, like even no matter what he does, he would get that comparison.
Sure.
Because he has that range.
That's right.
But I think there's like, yeah, anyone like, dude, like Box is probably one of the most foundational albums to our age group if you loved indie rock music.
Wow.
So like, I don't think you can be I don't think you can be honest and not sort of tip your hat to the national. Like, we fucking love the national. But yeah, like I think on this record especially, like the influences are a lot more random than that. And you know, it's sort of more, you know, new American minimalism and like Philip Glassy, Steve Reichy instrumentation, and UK garage like breakbeats. Heavily using samples from the Pacific Islands. Like, I think this record is like a departure from that, but a lot of our older stuff, and to an extent, I guess, like Angel of Eighth Avenue, which I think was the first single, still has that feel of like the driven drums. It's hopefully lean and gliding, you know, in the way that, yeah, I guess the national can do really well.
Is that the sound that you guys started as when you guys first found each other?
No, I think like we've never really had the balls to like attempt what we did on this record. And it's something we've always loved and sort of hoped to do. Like, we've always been very string heavy. Dave's amazing at arranging strings And now we have Tom Hobden, who joined the band, who used to be in Mumford & Sons, but before that, Gnar on the Whale. So he kind of has that. He's like a genius string arranger. So he's sort of taken us to the next level with that. You're hearing a full orchestra on the record. He went to Budapest and recorded with a full section.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. No, please.
I was gonna say, one of the things that Tyrone, we talked to Tyrone from Rufus the Soul a couple weeks ago, and one of the things he said was there was a national radio in Australia, and what an influence it was, because you got to hear so many different things. Because I think the question, I think Brad, you had asked, is, you know, where do you get these influences? And, you know, coming from Australia, and he said being able to hear all these different influences was freeing or liberating or whatever, you know. It was you could do whatever you wanted to do, kind of thing. Did you have that? Did you guys have that as well?
I think, like, Dave, who's like the leader of the band, really, you know, this is his story about his dad that he wrote, you know. And I think for him, he's like, he was raised by the internet and television in a lot of ways. He's like one of the most intelligent people I've ever met, who knows everything. It's like the walking Wikipedia page, you know, sometimes. Wikipedia search engine, I mean, like, he just knows everything. And so I feel like he kind of grew up loving classical music and listening to a huge array of things, you know, going down to the public library, listening to stuff. I think the rest of us have our own stories with it. Like, I was probably more just like a small town Kiwi kid who listened to whatever I could. And my big brother kind of would like give me a record every now and then, like Rage Against the Machine or something, and I would get into it or whatever. But I think we just all constant, like, Tom's literally a classically trained, you know, went to the Royal College of London to learn violin. So it's like, he comes from that world. So it's sort of this disparate, Donnie was like a jazz drummer, you know? So it's like this weird.
These are all so many different. Yeah, this is so many different experiences. How in the world did you all find each other?
We all met at a couple of them. So four of the original members, of whom Dave, myself, and Jung were originally like start of the band with two other guys. That basically four of them went to church youth group together. So they met through that, and I went to high school with Dave. So I met him there, and then so we kind of started in this shared experience in a large evangelical church movement. But that's kind of how the boys met up, and that's really cool in some ways, because you're allowed to play music and you're allowed to be really crap at it, you know, regularly. Like, I'm sure a lot of American listeners can, especially in the South, can relate to that. Like, my dad was a small town pastor in a small city in New Zealand, so I grew up playing different instruments and stuff every single week, you know, from when I was about 11, with no choice. I had to, you know what I mean? Someone
yeah
had
you
to.
Really do get a very you get a very long leash when you hate just sounds so good sitting behind that drums,
bless
you. And it's you're allowed to, but like, do you know what it teaches you, man? Like, even if you suck at your instrument, which most people who play in those places don't, they're actually amazing, but even if you do suck, you're learning how to play in a band, like how to play with people. Whereas I think a lot of other people, like, they don't get that till high school, where they get a chance to, like, routinely play, like, you know, which we all did as well, you know. We're all playing, like, Smells Like Teen Spirit on repeat, mm-hmm. or whatever,
mm-hmm.
In high school. But I think, yeah, so we all met like that. And but it was very early on that we became a band. Like, I met the other guys really at the first rehearsal. And we were just like, we kind of had shared experiences, but we all loved music, and we were very random. Like, we're not a very easy band to brand, because we don't wear the same shit. We're not all like 70s long hair shtick. I kind of look like that, but I'm kind of like a dorky New Zealander dad. And then, like, you know, Dave's a Samoan man who grew up in like in a western, in a city suburb of Sydney. Jung's from Chicago. He's Korean descent. You know, Donnie grew up in another city. So it's like, there's kind of like, we don't look like a band, And then we were on stage, like we even dressed different, which we're trying to get better at. Yeah. But like, so we've been doing this for like a decade, but we kind of have this, we probably look like a group. We're best friends in the whole world. We've lived together for long periods of our lives. We literally just went on a holiday with all of our wives. You know, like we hang out off the clock, mm-hmm. but we don't look like, we look like we met at like a social club, and we all come from different places. Like we don't have like a thread of like a scene that we came from, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which might be a strength when it comes to instrumentation, because it's not locked into one way of thinking.
Well, look, I mean, I do think that there is going to be a resurgence of getting back to the basics at some point, you know. TikTok has its moments, and yeah, it's really easy for you to get a career out of a YouTube page at this point, but there is still something that drives us to, especially hardcore music fans, drives us to the struggle, to the guys that just feel like our buddies. And you know, there's that thing feels like it's going to come back at some point. I would suggest coordinating outfits though. It does drive me a little nuts when a band is not paying any attention to what they're wearing. It makes
we think about it now, Matt. Like I'm
good.
Like,
okay.
We're like, you know, we've got like teams around us now that, you know, harass us about this shit. What I mean is, it's not,
as long as you're not wearing top hats and shorts, you're going to be okay.
Brad's biggest pet peeve is somebody taking their shirt off. So as long as nobody's taking
as long as you're not taking the shirt off, you're going to be okay.
No, I reckon drummers can, bro. I'm going to disagree with you. I reckon drummers can, but anyone else who does is a tool. I agree.
Like, I understand the drummer thing. I'm willing to give you a Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters. They're not trying to get attention, but if you're Imagine Dragons, if you're Dan, who's literally taking your shirt off in the third song, I don't know what you're doing this for. Like, there's no reason for you to
like,
this.
We can all agree that that's bullshit, bro. It's like, yeah, it's just like you just need not directing this at any person or a musician, but like, it's one of those things. You just need a good friend in your life to be like, bro, like, that's not a good look. So when a dude's doing that, like, the other one was like Maroon 5 lead singer during the Super Bowl, and it's just like, brother, like you're way more successful than me, and like, full respect to you and your songwriting, but like, put your shirt on, bro. Like, I also think if you're like, I don't know, there's a very small list of people who pull it off, and like,
that's right,
Iggy Pop.
I definitely, he fucking pulls it off. Yeah,
but I don't think I that might be it.
I certainly don't put myself into that lane. Yeah.
Well, I will say the first few episodes that we did of this podcast, they were all shirtless. And it didn't,
oh,
it didn't
good.
Really,
oh, good luck.
Yeah, I was didn't really work younger. Out for us. I was really a lot younger out. Then.
So now that the band is really found its footing, and you're starting to expand into the Americas, you have a string of festival dates. One included Shaky Knees. Do you guys think of anything? Not being American, do you have any sort of opinion about American festivals at all? American shows in general?
I have like a super high opinion of them, man. I think American crowds are really cool. They tend to listen to music that they didn't intend to see, which I think is the yardstick for a cool place to play at a festival. So like some countries you play in, like if you're not on their main radio station, like everyone's on their phone when you're playing, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like Americans, it's obviously way, 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 way too diverse a place to be general, America. But I think on the whole, our experience of playing festivals there is that people are up for it. And if they haven't seen you before, you actually can win a crowd over. It's not like, it hasn't been totally ruined by like TikTok and stuff yet. And yeah, so I really respect that. And we're really excited about Shaky Knees. I don't know if we're doing any others that I know of this summer, because we're doing quite a lot of headline touring.
Mm-hmm.
But next year we're going to be trying to, 23, we're going to be hopefully there all the time playing festivals.
I think
what's your really guys? Cool. What's, yeah, you go.
I think that's really cool to hear you say that about the festivals and Americans, because that to me, that's been a shift since Bonnaroo started, since the festival thing became a thing. It's really cool to hear you say that, because I think that's what we've seen develop, and part of why we do the show is the discovery. The discovery is part of the fun. That's something that we really, that's why we started the show, because there was a bunch of lineup that we never heard of, and we thought we need to find out who they are, and it became a game, you know. And then it became, I'm not saying we did it, but I'm glad to hear you say that. That's really cool.
Well, you've obviously been part of that, you know, you're part of the culture over there. So it's like, that's really cool, man. Like, I think anything that can as a muso that can make, I mean, I can think of a really good example where the band Bahamas, which I think is just staggeringly awesome. Canadian guys.
Which, by the way, yeah. Barry found Bahamas on this show.
On a Sunday, really? On a Sunday morning at Bonnaroo, and it's become my favorite. Yeah.
I explained a couple of picks that I had for Barry to listen to before Bonnaroo. He got into them, and all of a sudden, that's his, you know, get high and chill out at the house music.
Yeah, clean the house.
This is going to infuriate you then, because we played at a festival, and I'm not going to name the country because I just don't want to indict another place. But like, it wasn't the States, and yeah, Bahamas was playing, and everybody was just on their phone because that Bahamas, I don't think we're on the radio there. And the funniest thing was, like, our whole band was like lined up, like watching at the very front row, and people coming up and talking to us, but we were just trying to watch Bahamas. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yes. it was just this realization, like, they're so much bigger than us in most markets, but in this market, it was like a, you know, we were a thing at that festival. And I was like, it was just like so confusing to me, like, why aren't you watching this band? Like, you're going to watch, you might watch us later if you want to, or you'll watch whoever else later, but like, why are you on your phone? Like, why are you here if you're not here to watch music?
I came home and I was obsessed. It's all for a while.
It's so musical, man. Like, I really love what they do. It's just musical. And that's something I'm excited about for this tour is, I better go, lads.
You gotta go.
For this tour, like, I just think, you know, our other stuff's been a little bit more direct in terms of the, like, it's been guitar led, or, you know, more so. And like this new record, I think, is like way riskier and harder to play.
I'll tell you, so much. It may be hard for you to play, but it's so good. Angel in Real Time, I'm a big, big fan of it. Dude, I think Angel of Eighth Avenue is one of my favorite songs of the year last year. Really, if you're listening to this, give it a try, because I really like this band a lot. And I hope when you get over to the States, it's as well received as I think it will be. So all the luck to you, and hopefully we'll see you at Shakenese along the way.
Hey, bro, yeah, come on. Full on, like, reach out or whatever and just get a beer, but... If you guys do your thing at the festival, I don't know anyone else in Alabama, so I may as well get a bit. Well, really nice to talk to you, and thanks for your you know, caring about our band enough to talk to us wherever you guys are in Tennessee and Georgia and New Orleans,
Louisiana.
New Orleans. There you go. Thanks, Max. Yeah. Enjoy the
show. Thank you so much.
See you guys.
See you, buddy.
See you, guys. Bye.
They might be your discovery this year. What day are they on, Barry? Gang of Youths.
They are on the Saturday.
Okay.
The Nine Inch Nails headliner with Churches.
Not the day you want to go.
That's a good one. I mean, I like the whole lineup, but I'm not going to even pretend and lie to you and say I'm going all 3 days.
I do feel like it's one of the stronger lineups. And for a festival, it's only 25K or so. I think it is as strong of a lineup as out there the entire year.
Yeah, you could go any of those 3 days and be happy all night.
What's Friday again? Remind me of Friday is.
Green Day and Billy Idol, Rainbow Kitten, Spoons.
Spoons. We'll talk to Spoons here soon enough. Britt Daniels, my best friend. Me and my best friend Britt. Going to catch up, talk about the new album, Lucifer on the Sofa, here in a second. But what was the Bonnaroo news this week that I missed? Because I'll be honest with you, I've not paid attention to anything.
Yeah, go ahead, Taco.
They've made some improvements on the farm. Number one, stormwater management planning and drainage improvements. I know you guys love drainage.
I always like to see that way up high on the poster.
Well, yeah, first billing, yeah.
if they don't have the sewage improvements, you'd know it.
Yeah, these are all filed under only us would be talking about it, but we're glad they did all of them.
Can I tell you, a band that we've had on this program before came to town and they performed at a venue in town that will stay nameless. And I heard that it got so uncomfortable. It's a packed house, but unfortunately, because it was the first show back into real life, something had happened with the sewage lines. And when everybody would flush, the water was going the opposite direction. So when you walked into the bathroom, you were having to walk around rivers of sewage.
Ooh.
So the whole venue smelled like raw sewage.
I don't care who's on stage. That's a bad night.
Don't care who's.
Yeah.
Paul, nice to see you. Mr. McCartney, have a good night. I'm out.
Yep. Got to go. Mm-hmm. We've all been on the farm when things weren't going well. I try not to talk about it. Like I said, I worked at a funeral home. I don't talk about that. I don't talk about things I've seen in porta potties on the farm.
Yeah, but you really did get a lot of girlfriends from that funeral home.
It's a chick magnet.
Yes, it is. What's the second line on that improvement poster?
Let's see. You got relocation of parking and camping areas to better prepare for weather events.
Now, this sounds
planning on.
Well, you know, that just sounds like fancy words for moving Brad. And I don't
run.
I don't like it. This doesn't sound good to me.
We can read between the lines on that.
Yeah, we're no getting kidding.
Kicked out.
This is just fancy words to say, we don't like where you're camping, Brad. So we're moving you somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to, that's an issue for later.
So at what point, so explain to me the parts that they would need to move you from and move you to so that it would be weather flexible.
I don't know, but they put a little picture of a bus on here, so I like it.
Once again,
it's a thumbs up from me.
Poster management.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
That's all you need. It gives a thumbs up from me.
That'd take a lot.
The only thing I can think of is remember the big storm from what, 4 or 5 years ago, is they just cleared out Center Roo.
Yeah.
And then where you went from there.
And they built a bridge.
Kind of on your own. Yeah, built the bridge.
Now, I understand there's low levels of the farm. And you know, the storm that rolled through Ida last year that killed the festival, I understand that there's a reason the grounds were destroyed.
You probably hit it. You probably nailed it right there.
I know that, but where are they moving them to? I mean, they don't have endless space.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably higher. I don't know. I would assume they paid attention to higher ground and that sort of thing. And
were you just about to say they moved a hill?
I was gonna, but I let it go.
You
they probably did
it,
move some hills, but not the hill.
You're Brad always wins in the end. Brad always wins in the end.
Not this one. All right, go ahead. There's three or four more.
They've paved roads. There's additions of paved roads across the farm. Paving roads.
Would you be okay if they paved the main roads inside Center Roo?
That's what I think they did.
No.
And at first I thought, no, I don't like that.
I don't think that's true.
Remember that big puddle that forms there leaving VIP going into Center Roo. Be cool if that was not there anymore.
I know that, but
paved roads across festival grounds. It doesn't specifically say Center Roo.
Now I could see if they paved the main drags around camp, right? But I just don't know if I would be okay with them paving roads inside Center Roo.
Why?
Something would feel almost...
You'd miss the dust and the puddles?
You know, it's not just the dust or the puddles. It just feels, less connected to the earth, maybe.
I had the same thought over the weekend, but then I kept thinking about those puddles that you got to walk, you know, when you go through those wooden gates, stepping over and around. There's no fun in that.
I understand. I don't know why. I haven't really put a finger on why this would bother me, but it would make me feel a little,
a little bougie.
A little like I feel like I'm at a city festival all of a sudden. I think the point of being a Bonnaroo is that you get these rough around the edges things. I don't know if I'd love a I'm okay with a flushing toilet, okay? Let me make that clear. I'm okay.
You're not a rough around the edges guy.
I know that. But this makes me feel like I am.
Oh, this is it. Okay. They got gravel roads and everything.
Yeah,
maybe we need to do a little recon and go down to Manchester and see exactly what they've
that's
paid.
Exactly what we need
to do. Do you think they've already done them, or they're just saying that they're going to do them?
Makes it sound like it's been done. Why, are you going to talk them out of it?
Well, wait a second. We have Kyle lives in Manchester.
Oh, yeah, we can get him over there.
Why don't we just get Kyle, drive over there and see if you can see any paved roads.
Yeah, take video.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The last place they need paved roads is in Cineroo. They already drive too many carts through there to begin with. The bumpiness and that actually slows them down. They need to take the service roads behind because the carts drive me nuts driving through there.
That was sort of part of the plan that was announced 2 years ago when it didn't happen.
Got it.
They had come up with ways to move the carts around the perimeter.
Man, I hope so.
I do too. That's the most annoying thing.
I tell you, the best part of Lollapalooza is how they have organized sort of their transportation in and around that festival. The carts driving through Bonnaroo don't make any sense, and they just get in the way.
Yeah, coming up on you all the time.
Yeah, and also, paving roads would mean that they're, you know, planning to continue driving through Cineroo when it's much more important to get paved roads out and around the premises, don't you think?
Maybe. Yeah. It's part of the wastewater management, rainwater and all that.
Mm-hmm. All right, what else we got on the poster?
New wayfinding system to better help you navigate the farm day and night.
Okay, that's just sure a sign. That's just a sign.
That's a sign.
Yeah, that's a...
Here's your sign.
This way.
And then finally, even faster entry to campgrounds due to toll booth and parking efficiencies.
Yeah, this... Look, I just made it better. There.
Oh, there it is.
Did it.
Now I can find my way.
Man, I just spent a lot of money on that new sign.
Send an email.
But it's a sign, right? We're talking about a sign. We're talking about a street sign.
It could be something on your phone.
Okay.
What else could it be? I mean, probably a sign.
I don't know. That's for those people who have to camp way, way, way out.
Do they still own Squarcho?
No, it's gone.
They rented it then. They didn't own it?
No, they didn't own it.
Okay. Because if they owned it, it would be kind of cool to take the Squarch and drive it around with like announcements on the big screen, and you get to see what's going on and, you know, do karaoke into it, you know.
Could put it to use.
Yeah.
That'd work.
All right. Now, that would be a pretty good, sign. You know, that'd be a pretty good investment. They bought the Squarch and they've turned it into, its own character. Now, I'll tell you, that would be a great rehab to its reputation. Everybody hates the Squarch. El Squarcho is back, and all of a sudden, it's its own character driving around, making everybody happy.
I agree. Maybe you could wear a Squarcho costume.
Mini Squarch.
Mini Squarch.
Hey, Mardi Gras is 345 days away.
Gotta start working on that costume.
Gotta
make it now.
Yeah, so that's it. Those are the big ones. And of course, they're going to let people in on Tuesday.
Some people
on Tuesday.
And the sooner you get there, the closer you are camped to Cineroo. First time.
Which is pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always wondered about that. People who, bust their ass to get there early and then get the worst parking.
That sounds like the lead. That sounds like the biggest piece of information here, that the sooner you get there, the closer you get to be.
Yep.
Because weren't we saying a couple years ago that, you know, you could get there on a Tuesday, but you're still, you know, yeah, a mile and a half away. First.
Yeah, they start from back and move, you know, towards the middle.
Well, and that's not new. They've been announcing this for 2 years.
Yeah.
There's just been no Bonnaroo to show for it.
Actually do it. So that's it.
They should just keep announcing stuff. Just who cares? It's, you know, we 50-50 if this happens. Start announcing stuff.
Hey, the Rolling Stones are headlining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Surprise. Well, good. That's all right. I mean, I think a lot of that's some good PR work finally. But yep. I don't know if much of that is meat. It feels like the meatier part is you get to camp as close to Cineroo as you can, the easier or sooner you get there.
Yeah. I think Russ and I were talking before you got on. Any of these improvements are the kind of things that, you know, don't normally make the headlines, but as we've all said over the years, the little things, they add up. Shade, grass,
that's right.
Flushable toilets.
That's right. And the grounds have definitely gotten better, and they look so much better. And I will, to your point, Barry, I think that the reason why we don't hear about them, they announce them plenty, but we don't hear about them because there's other stuff about it that we're talking about. You know, there's so many other things that but because we're in this, you know, barren desert of information about, you know, what Bonnaroo is going to be. We haven't done it in how long. Now it feels like every teeny tiny scrap of information feels like a feast.
Any news is news. Yeah, for sure.
So the other shaky knees artist that we wanted to talk to today was an interview I did with Britt Daniel, my best friend, a couple weeks ago when the new album came out. If you haven't listened to it yet, by the way, when we were talking to Gang of Youths, you had plenty of time there, Barry, to listen to Lucifer on the Sofa. Did you listen to any? Did you get a couple of tracks?
No, but I promise I will.
Did you listen to Gang of Youths before we talked to them? Oh, yeah? What'd you think?
Yes, I like it very much. It took me a while. I kept trying to figure out, and I hate doing this, but I'm like everybody else.
He does it every time.
Everybody tries to figure out.
He always says, I never do this. And then he does it. He does exactly this.
I hate doing it. But it finally dawned on me. They remind me of The Call. I don't know if you remember The Call, the song The Walls Came Down. Yeah. Okay.
Never mind.
You know I got nothing.
You know it. Jump into that cabinet and see if you got any Call CDs. reach on in there and see if you got anything.
Nothing.
Anyway, okay, I like it very much. Yeah, I like it a lot.
I said,
Max was a lot of fun.
He was a lot of fun. I get a little bit of National vibes from it. So,
Yep.
Lucifer on the Sofa is the new Spoon album. We talked the day that it came out, so I'm sorry we're just now getting to this, but other things started coming up like Rufus the Soul and Coin. But because I love Spoon so much, and because Britt Daniel is
best friends.
Yes, with me. Let's Spoon on the What podcast. What's happening, Brett?
Hey, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing super duper. How are you, stranger?
I'm good.
The last time you and I hung out / talked, we were backstage at ACL, and I asked you what you were listening to, and you said, I've been getting into The Clash these days. And then it wasn't 5 minutes later, somebody walked up and said, hey, Brett, nice to see you. What are you listening to? And you said, I'm really getting into The Clash these days.
That's a strong recommendation. It's hard to go wrong with The Clash.
I bet you're still listening to The Clash these days.
I am.
I just admire you so much. I mean, you've got one of my favorite bands, the top three favorite bands of all time. And today has got to be a really big day for you. So first off, congrats. I think you guys put out something damn near perfect.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
I have a
That's
feeling.
That's high praise. I appreciate that.
Oh, I'm just an idiot on the radio. What do I know? I want to go back to like when you and Jim, since you and Jim are still around from 30 years ago, what was the conversation? Did you envision 30 years later in 10 albums?
No, we didn't. The bands that I had been into that I had been in up until that point all lasted about 9 months to a year and a half. And so that was kind of what I was picturing. Jim and I were in a band before Spoon that lasted 9 months. It's called the Alien Beats. And so I think the only thing that we commented on was like, let's get some better gigs than that last band had. You know, that was it. like, let's play, not play on Monday nights at the Back Room, this metal bar. And there's a metal bar in East Austin that had an alternative night, you know? And that was the gig that was easy to get. But of course, no one showed up. So
yeah, I remember you telling me, though, when this was starting, you were doing something. What was your day-to-day job at the time?
Right when the band started? Mm-hmm. I guess I was just out of college, and I was working at a video game company.
Oh, that's right. Yes, okay.
Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yes, I remember this conversation. Yeah, and what were you doing there?
I was making sound effects. I wasn't even making music for them. I was just doing sound effects, so like explosion sound effects and
right.
You know, a spaceship, the door closes, you that kind of sound effect. Spaceship takes off, that kind of sound effect. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a cool job.
I feel like you could score a movie if you really wanted to.
I could.
Yeah. I mean, even do the sound effect part. It could go run the whole gambit from the beginning of the movie to the end.
Yeah, it was a good gig for sure. You know, it was especially just out of college, you know, it was a dream job. And they were, when I was in college, I studied audio, but there was no digital audio at that school. So, right. So I got out of school, and there's this video game company says they want to teach me digital audio and pay me $10 an hour. And I just thought I was, you know, it was, that would, I don't know. I thought,
was this 91, 92?
Yeah. 93.
Yeah. That's pretty good. $10 an hour. 93 is not bad.
Yeah.
So when you guys go through, you know, 30 years of this, when do you think that like Spoon really found its legs? When do you think it really got so? Because the thing that I feel about this band that I love so much is that from the first moment, I mean, even from, you know, Telefono to now, it always feels so comfortable in its own skin.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, Telefono was definitely that the band that was trying to get better gigs. You know, that was what those songs were all about. And it wasn't really even about making records. And then of course, making a record was a cool deal, but that's not what those songs were written for. And then later on, we figured out, hey, someone's actually going to put out our records. We started thinking about writing songs in a different way. I think the record, maybe 3N, called Girls Can Tell, mm-hmm. is where we really started figuring it out for ourselves and had some of our own identity pop out more.
What was the song on Girls Can Tell? Everything Hits at Once. You think that was the one? Or
that was a big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first song on it. And we had definitely never done anything like that before. It had vibraphones. It was very stripped back. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could nerd out about your own band, you know, pretty much all day and wax poetic about it. But the thing that I love, you know, not only because it's so comfortable in its own skin, but the re-listenability, if that's a word, is so strong, because every time I listen, and I don't care if it's a series of sneaks or whatever, you know, just, and I told you this before, a random tambourine that walks through the room, and then you never hear that tambourine ever again.
Right.
You know, those kind of, a random hand clap that never comes back again. That's right. The kind of stuff that I find to be so interesting that you guys seem to find the perfect spots for those things.
Yeah. Well, I would hear that on a Bowie record, you know, and I'd hear that on a Beatles record. And they were particularly big on, you know, really loud percussion elements like that. And when we started making records, if you'd work with a producer, they'd say, yeah, you put a little tambourine on there, but it's got to be buried in the mix and you don't want that to stand out. And I said, well, that's not how the Beatles would do it. So there was some arguing about that to start, but I'm glad you appreciate that vibe.
Well, I love it because it seems as though it's something that, you know, if I was sitting in the room with you, that would be what I would do. You know, it's like, oh, hang on a second. When you Brett, got it. I'm in. I'm on a Spoon record.
You got a nice reverb on those claps you got going on.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I've been working on this. Yeah. So speaking of being in the room with him, the compliment that a buddy of mine, we were going back and forth about this new album. And you could probably say this about any Spoon album. It feels like we're in the room with them.
Right.
Is that, there's got to be a purpose for that. That's got to be something that you're actually designing to do.
We specifically worked on that for this record. We felt like we wanted to react a bit against the last one, which was the last one was actually more produced than some of the other ones. It was made very much in the studio. We're writing the songs while we're in the studio and figuring out what we were doing with the songs as we're in the studio. This time we decided, well, let's hash all that out as a band playing with each other before we hit the record button. You know, sort of an old, maybe a little bit more old fashioned way of making a record, but there's something about that. You can, even if you don't know anything about recording or how records are made, I think you can kind of sense it that this is a band playing together.
Well, what's more comfortable for you?
Both ways are good. I cause I love some produced music. I do. I guess I like the feel of things happening naturally and things happening, sort of more live.
That's what I was thinking, because the live show is such a completely different experience. That's not totally true. It's not completely different, but it is a much different feel, especially when you guys, I'll put it this way. When you said to me at ACL, you said, well, have you seen this show? And it was your latest tour. And this was 2018, 2019. Man, I can't remember what else. You said, have you seen this show? And I said, no, I haven't seen this specific one, but I've seen you guys live a host of times. And you said, well, this is the one you need to see.
Wow. Listen to that kid.
Well, you were that kid. It was 3 years ago. But it was so specific, because I think that it had seemed like you had spent so much time making that live show the best one that you guys had brought to the stage. I wonder if that sort of like found its way into this album.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it. You know, we worked on the show, you know, and the way that the show flowed together, and the way that the performances linked together, and the way that hit the audience. And when we toured more on that record than we had on any other record before, which is saying a lot for us. And so we did think, like, we felt like we were in a really strong place band wise. And so it became a thing where, let's make a great rock and roll record that is about the band, less about production and more just about how we play naturally with each other.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, that kid was right. I mean, it was the best Spoon show I had ever seen. And I think there was partly, you know, there's, you know, a hometown element there to it, right. But it still was the best Spoon show I'd ever seen. I wonder if you feel the pressure the next round of live shows, when the tour starts in April, have you gotten up a notch?
No pressure. We've done a bunch of shows. We played a bunch in September and October.
Oh, yeah, it started yesterday, didn't it, in San Diego?
Yeah, then we played, right. A show, was it last? No, the last two shows this week in LA. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's feeling good. I kind of feel like we're set up and ready to go. It's been some really good shows.
Well, Britt, you're the coolest SOB in rock music.
I'm writing that down.
Put that on your resume.
Yeah.
I really do appreciate you, and I love Spoon with all of my heart, and I'm so glad you're back. I just love this album so much.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you for saying all that, and I hope we get to I know we're going to play near New Orleans at some point. I hope you get to come to the show.
I hope so. I'll see you plenty of times on this tour. And, you know, by then I'll have something for you other than the Clash.
All right. Yeah. Come say hello for sure. Let's chat again.
See you, buddy. See you soon.
Take care.
All right, guys. There you go. Good show today. The What Podcast, giving you Bonnaroo tickets. One last thing to do before we get out of here. I could not be happier with the submission so far for the Bonnaroo Photoshop contest.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
Really, really funny.
You can tell the artists are listeners. That's what makes it cool.
Is that what makes it cool, or do they make you look better?
Well, that does help. I'm much thinner in all of these graphics.
It's because they're trying to win.
And we have confirmation that it is a baby. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like
some really good stuff so far. I feel like, to me, the leader in the clubhouse is the hand-drawn pictures of Russ, Barry, and Brad. That, to me, so far is my favorite. So even you, with no artistic talent, can be a front runner for Bonnaroo tickets. All you got to do is give us your best graphic interpretation of the What podcast, whether it be in Photoshop, whether or not you drew it on the back of a napkin. Maybe you write the words "the What" on a piece of paper and submit it. Hey, anything that gets our attention, tag us in it, the What_podcast on Twitter, on Instagram. You can email us. What is the email address again, Russ?
comments@thewhatpodcast.com.
Got it. Any sort of artistic interpretation of the What podcast will take. You know what? I will even say this. I'll throw this out to you guys. We could even expand it to if you wrote us a song.
There you go.
See? Any sort of artistic interpretation of the show. And we'll take it. There you go. What do you think? I'm in. So submit those. We still have a few weeks left on that. So put your creative cap on and submit it today for Bonnaroo tickets and camping pass. Anything else, gentlemen?
I think that's it.
Taco, every time we go to Barry's house, it seems as though he's got more What podcast stickers he's putting up behind him. It's like he's just finding gear that he hasn't sent out yet. And he's like,
that's because I keep pulling equipment out of trash bins everywhere, and I got to dress them up with these stickers. I got this really cool rack from a local liquor store. They were throwing it away. So, yeah.
Wow.
I know, man. The wheels alone are worth.
Was there any liquor in it when you got it?
Not when it was outside. When I got it home, there was liquor.
Barry, what are you doing with the liquor rack?
You should see it. I'm proud of it.
But what? For what? What are you going to do?
Oh, I got all my stuff. I got all my equipment.
I got all my stuff.
I got a place for my stuff.
See, I got my treasures here.
Place for my stuff.
I have nice treasures.
I have a feeling all your stuff is still everywhere.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough.
I love this idea.
But it's more organized.
Would you maybe sell some of that stuff? Maybe on, What podcast stuff?
Yeah, that stuff I need to sell. Anybody need a koozie? Or a t-shirt.
I am very worried now all of a sudden that Barry has become a hoarder. You're walking into liquor stores and stealing furniture.
Yeah, what are you gonna do with that?
I'm very worried about this.
I'm not proud. I want you to see this. I love this thing.
Are you bringing home pallets too?
I'm not gonna answer that. I might have one or two.
Very worried about you. I'm very worried. All right, there you go.
All right.
Good luck. No wonder you can't leave the basement. You've got too much junk sitting around you. Yes,
I can't get out.
You literally locked yourself into the basement based on the stuff you brought home from the liquor store that's not liquor.
I can neither confirm or deny.
Yeah. Love you guys.
See you guys.
See ya.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.